My husband and I make about the same salary and live modestly. 6 months after we married, I found out my husband's net worth is virtually zero.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to yet another awesome episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast. Shira, let's give them the little elevator pitch for our new listeners. So Shira and I paid off over six figures of debt in 2017. And since then, we've become real estate investors. We have five properties, and we started this podcast shortly after paying off our debt. We're literally taking you along the ride to us becoming financially independent now. We're trending towards early retirement. And so that's what this podcast is about. We interview great people. We talk about great financial topics, marriage topics. Shira wants to dig a little bit deeper on that. So this is your place. I like to call us the world's best finance. What did I say, Shira?
I don't know what you said. I don't even. Clearly, he's not reading off the script here. He's
saying things
that I'm kind of surprised at, but.
But this is a vibe. This is a place where you can turn this on at the gym. You can turn this on in the car with your kids. This is clean content. We're talking about financial literacy. We're talking about marriage. And so this is just a really dope podcast I think you're going to enjoy if you're listening for the first time. Hopefully this won't be your last time.
Yes.
Shira, how are you doing on this Sunday afternoon?
I'm doing well. Someone's celebrating a birthday today. It's
yes.
Not me, though, but
yes.
Happy to, you know, take place in festivities.
Yes.
As we're nearing Halloween tomorrow, I am definitely expecting trick-or-treaters. And really, the question is, will the candy last?
Man, Shira, I've gone through about 10 bags of candy.
Oh, Lord. Well, I do have a sweet tooth, but I'm going to try to not dig into the trick-or-treaters stash of candy
right.
Anymore. And we'll see. Because last year we ran out of candy.
And Shira, this year they're saying candy is up. You know, inflation has really affected the candy industry. So, you know, beware of that, y'all.
It's up as in price?
It's a lot more expensive. I saw a breakdown online. It's like the highest candy.
Candy,
I think,
finished.
Skittles was like up. Was like double from last year. Something crazy.
No, listen. The candy was expensive last year, and it is expensive this year. Some of our stores like ran out of candy, so I started buying candy early, but that proved to be a problem because, you know, we had a movie night and you wanted some candy, so you opened one of the bags, and then you know, a few days later the bags disappeared. So
here's the thing, Shire, and we're gonna get to our topic really soon, but here's the thing: a lot of people just want to spend, right? They want to buy candy, want to buy costumes, they want to enjoy.
Of course.
People want to enjoy the holiday, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's lit, it's lit. A lot of people at the spirit store, you know, there's a lot of people.
Oh, I didn't go in there. Y'all went in there.
Yeah, it was a fun time. But yeah, we're excited for Halloween. Hopefully you have a great Halloween. You and your family, we're wishing you that. Shire, let's get into it. We're going to be talking about something real zesty and real spicy. I wanted to get our raw reaction. We kind of just skimmed through the article, but we're going to go through this article about a wife who's having concerns about her husband. So I'm going to let you take it from here.
Yes. Okay. So I think this will make for a good conversation. We'll see where it goes. Yeah. This is actually coming from The Moneyist, and the article is titled, "When We Dated for 5 Years, He Implied He Was Financially Secure. My husband was always hesitant about his finances, and now I know why." So before I hop into the story, I will say that generally on this column, The Moneyist replies, and I have not read his response.
Okay.
So we're just going to respond in our own way.
Yes. That's how we do.
And maybe check out what some of the comments are saying. So basically the story reads, "My husband and I make about the same salary and live modestly. 6 months after we married, I found out my husband's net worth is virtually zero. He owes more money than he has assets, approximately $40,000, and my net worth is over $500,000. I only found out about his situation because we each own homes and we are looking to buy one together and completed a mortgage application in preparation for pre-approval. My home is paid off and I have very little debt. While we dated for 5 years, he implied he was financially secure. He was always hesitant about sharing actual numbers, and now I know why. I'm an accountant, and looking at the numbers, he is not solvent, even though he still claims he is. We have not combined our finances, but we do have one joint savings account. He keeps hinting at wanting to take care of the finances when we finally buy a house together. I'm against this after finding out about his financial situation. He doesn't know the value of my assets, but he does know about my debt. He will not agree to let me take care of the finances. How can I protect my accounts? That includes the inheritance from my parents, my 401k, and my other savings accounts. I've thought about a post-nuptial agreement, but I'm doubtful that he will agree to one." What you think?
Man, my first reaction to that, let me take it all in, you know what I'm
saying? Okay.
But my first reaction to that is, if you go through the vow, I immediately started looking up the vows, and like,
what,
you know,
Marcus?
Everyone's vow is different. I know everyone's religion is different, and some people do their
why
own
are
vows.
You going to the vows?
I'm not going all the there.
Way. Why would you think to go all the way to the vows though?
Because my first reaction was, oh, she got to get up out of there, right? Or she got to, you know, like, this ain't working out, right?
Okay.
But then I immediately was like, well, wait, the vows are sickness and health, death do us part, rich or poor. So it's like, okay, she can't just run, right? She literally has to, based on the vows, work through most vows, that is, work through this somehow. So now I'm thinking again, okay, so now what could she do? This guy has to bend a little, right? Because he's been found in an untruth. This isn't a deal breaker. The untruth itself isn't a deal breaker. But where it leans into deal breaker territory is the unwillingness to bend or to correct or to meet her halfway, Shire.
Where do you think he should bend?
I mean, she listed a bunch of different things that maybe signing some type of post-nuptial, she says, but he won't do that.
Well, she didn't ever ask.
She hasn't asked yet.
Well, it says, "I'm doubtful he will agree to one," but she could be very, you know, she could be correct in her assumption.
Yeah, and let's just say, since we don't know them, let's just say she's probably correct in that.
Okay.
That needs to be on the table for him. He needs to...
A post-nuptial agreement.
Yeah, because, bro, you came into this and you weren't all the way, didn't put all your cards on the table. Okay, fair enough. But now that the cards are on the table due to you guys filling out a mortgage application, you got found out. So now you gotta see, and I said this on my last podcast, you gotta get it right, right? It's the difference between being right and getting it right. You see what I'm saying? So now, hey man, we just about getting, finding the solution. If she wants a postnuptial, if she wants to, you got to be open to those conversations. Now, do I have a solution? Not at this time, but I'm going to let you talk and maybe one will come to me.
Yeah, well, I just don't know why you went straight to the wedding vows.
I don't know. Because like I said, my first thing was, dang, man, she might have to. Like, if there were no ties here, I'm up out of there. But then I said, slow down, slow down. They're married. They've been married for 6 months. You can't just, you have to really work through this now because you've committed to
okay.
the work through.
I don't think that, maybe I'm belittling the situation because I don't think,
you don't
that,
think
the,
it's that big a deal?
I don't think the problem is as huge and as insurmountable as maybe she feels that it is. Starting off with his debt is $40,000.
Not bad at all.
And there, I mean, That it could be a lot worse, yeah, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have a $500,000 net worth. Congratulations. Like, you're in a small fraction.
Yeah.
Let's not act like because he doesn't have that,
that, you know, that this is, that there's a crisis.
Right. I mean, you're right, Shia. $40,000 worth of debt is very, very minimal.
Right. And it's not that someone's coming after him and he needs to cough up the cash next week. Like, okay. Okay. He can, you know, there could be a plan in place for him to pay back the $40,000, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. Mm-hmm. So I don't, the sky is not falling because someone has $40,000 worth of debt. You know, and the husband's net worth is virtually zero. Well, technically you all are married. And so mm-hmm. whatever your net worth is, depending on the state that you live in, you know, you might need to think about that. So the other issue that has come up is that they're purchasing a house together. That's a positive thing.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the house transaction. I got some questions there.
Okay.
He got a house. You got a paid off house. Why y'all buying a third house?
Marcus, why not?
I mean, maybe they're starting a real estate portfolio. So yeah, I don't know the ins and outs. But well, how come y'all can't live in maybe the paid off house or maybe his house? Why is it necessary to, if you're not happy with his debt,
okay,
why is it necessary to create more debt together?
Yeah, or maybe they sell one of the houses and completely get rid of the debt, you know. But maybe buying a house, there's so many unknowns in the story.
Yeah.
But maybe buying a house together really symbolizes them starting their life together. Maybe when they bought a house, what if it's only a two-bedroom house?
Yeah.
You know, maybe they want to start a family. They want more space. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why a couple might want to purchase a house together. But to your point, I wonder if this is really a good time for a transaction of this size, because it doesn't sound like they're paying for this house in cash. And if $40,000 is really unnerving you, why take on a mortgage, you know, in today's climate with extremely high interest rates? It doesn't even like make it make sense. But my point was that the house was not the issue, really. The house, I mean, the issue was after they were to buy the house, he wanted to be in charge of
the finances. That's where it got big. Yeah, that's where I think it got interesting for me.
Yeah. So what the article says, it says that he keeps hinting at wanting to take care of the finances when we finally buy a house together. I'm against this after finding out about his financial situation.
Well, I'm going to ask him the same thing that my counselor asked me to think about this week. She gave me homework.
Yes.
And it's a great question. Why does he feel, why does he want control?
Mm-hmm.
Has he asked himself that?
Yes.
What is your reasoning for wanting the control?
Right. Especially when you're married to someone who is an accountant, who's very good with their money.
Yeah.
They have demonstrated that, you know, they're a good steward of their money. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she did mention an inheritance from her parent. You know, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe some things have been given to her, but maybe not.
Is it a man thing? Is it a pride thing? Is it a, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, fellas. What is it? What's like, really going on?
Yeah, because even in full transparency, when the counselor asked me, you know, well, what makes you want to have control in this area or whatnot, it always is super shallow. Like, there's no real deep reason. It's just like, Cause I'm the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to be the man in this scenario. So it's like, is that at play here? Because all signs point to she's the better one with the money, or at least you can be involved, sir. But she's the accountant. She does this, and she has more, more solvency. You know what I mean? She's more astute financially in her personal finances.
Yeah.
So it's just like, I understand him wanting to be involved. He doesn't want to be in the dark. But complete control? I mean, I could see her concerns there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But then at the same time, it says he keeps hinting at wanting to take care of the finances. So what does that really mean? You know, taking care of the finances. They have very similar income. So, I mean, do you want to pay? You want to pay the mortgage?
And
I mean,
like, another thing, Shai.
What do you mean by he wants to take care of the finances? Like,
yo, this
why,
is deep.
Why won't you let him take care of the finances?
I feel like we're arguing. You're arguing his point. I'm arguing her point. It's kind of interesting. But my thing is, bro, I'm bringing the same kind of money to the table as you. So, what's your reasoning for why do you get complete control if here are the checkpoints? I work with other people's money and numbers for a living.
Yeah.
I've in life done better financially than you.
Okay.
And we bring in the same amount of money. So we're bringing in 50-50. Literally the only reason why he wants control is because, what, is he taller? Like, there's no other reason.
Well, this is
for him to want to be in charge. And that's what I'm like, that's when you may need. I have a solution, but I don't want to go there yet. I kind of want to hear what the money says. But go ahead. What were you thinking?
Well, I was thinking along the lines of, why can't they do it together?
We can do it together.
Because a lot of your bills can be put on auto pay.
Yeah. Why can't they do it together?
So, you know, I think they both have demonstrated that they know how to pay a bill, because she has her own home and he has his own home
with minimal debt.
With minimal debt. So there's no competition here.
It's a good situation here. Yeah.
There's no competition. Like, okay, who knows how to pay a bill? I mean, they both know how to, you know what I'm saying? So,
sure, this is a classic case of the scenario not being so bad, right? We're all third party. We're all looking at this. The scenario isn't bad.
It really isn't.
But what's bad is the underlying philosophies and the underlying, I want to be in control. And they're making something simple.
But it's how she feels about him. And you feel comfortable enough to write this bobblehead guy on the internet. No offense. No offense. Because I don't know him. And I appreciate his column. You take a lot of stories from him. But, you know, this imaginary person on the internet, but you don't have enough respect for your husband to
just sit him down and tell him.
I mean, not even sit him down. I mean, that sounds harsh. Okay. Like, I'm about to sit you, you know, that sounds kind of harsh. Well, but
have a talk with him, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
have a talk. And I feel that, you know, she might think less of him because he doesn't have what she has.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a not so good place to be in your relationship. We have to understand that the way that we handle money, there are a lot of factors in that. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, how we were raised, and it's our financial education, and it's our different experiences that make up who we are and that play a role in how we, you know, handle money. Handle money is complicated. So for, you know, I think it's fine to say I'm more skilled with finances. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just admit it, honey. Like, I'm good at some things and you're good at other things.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to, like, really be looking at your husband like
he's sleeping. You looking at him like, no, old sleepy, you know what I'm saying?
Bimbo.
Yeah.
Got all this debt, you know. So how can she approach this in a way that is respectful?
Yes.
In a way that won't tarnish the relationship, and really just, I don't know, preserves the image of her husband. Like, he might not even be a bad guy.
Right. I'm sure he's a good dude. I'm sure he's bringing in money. Like you said, his debt hasn't spiraled out of control. $40,000 right. in debt in the United States.
We've had worse.
Is actually really positive.
Yeah.
But I noticed something on the front end, Shire, to kind of go with that thinking. There was a lot of his, mine, ours.
Yes.
I didn't hear a lot of ours in there.
No.
I heard a lot of, he does this. My money is this. Da-da-da-da-da. And so I was like, you're right. The philosophy, I don't feel like they had a set they didn't have the proper conversations on the front end. Like, so what's the money philosophy? We keeping money together. We did this. I think probably some of that should have been talked to on the front end, but you're right.
But I think they did have some money conversations because,
he wasn't telling all the truth.
It says that he implied he was financially secure. It could be that his...
It could be financially secure with $40,000 worth of debt. He probably still is very financially
secure.
We don't
have the full picture. We don't really know, you know.
The problem is financially secure to her is $500,000 in the assets and no debt. Financially secure to him is a house.
Exactly.
I make more than enough money to pay my bills. I'm good.
Well, that...
That's where the problem is, I think.
Idea of financially secure. And even that is a complete assumption. It's just that we're saying that they could have two different definitions of what it is to be financial secure.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's where I was heading. But then the other idea is a post-nuptial agreement. So, you know, what do you feel about that? You know, getting into the marriage and then thinking, wow, I have way more than my spouse, whether it's, you know, whether it's coming from the husband or the wife, them saying, you know what I get into? They over here, they ain't got nothing. Let me try to protect what I have.
It's fair to want that, but it's a crapshoot because you should have got it. It's called a prenuptial agreement.
She said a postnuptial.
Postnuptial is at the discretion of the partner. So the partner could just be like, no, I'm good. And you really have no recourse. Because you have no leverage. The prenuptial, the leverage is, or I won't marry you. That's your leverage.
Well, she could still say that.
I guess your leverage is, I'll leave. But is that what we want to do here, folks? I don't think so. So it's a crapshoot. She could present that to him and he could politely say, thank you, but no thank you.
But I don't think that's the solution, right? You know, it's just kind of, it's kind of really like her getting her way. I think that there's some other challenge. I mean, she could still look into that, but I'm just saying that the underlying, that's not going to solve the problem in the way that she sees her husband and the way that they're not really dealing with their challenges, you know, as partners.
I agree, but a post or prenuptial is an agreement. So that's both parties saying, hey, this is how we're going to conduct our situation. So if you agree, you're by definition solving the problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It might not be, me and you might not think that that's a good way to solve it, but it's literally an agreement. Whatever that is, my money does this, your money does that. We shake hands and we're able to go forward happily because we both agree. So I don't want to say a postnuptial or prenuptial is a negative if we both sign and agree.
Oh yeah.
It's actually a positive.
I agree. So, but I just wanted to, go ahead.
Wait, sorry. No, go ahead. Let's see what folks is talking about.
So I just kind of went to the comments. So I don't know what the money has said, but I'm sure that, you know, some
we
good
the
is up there.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
No, that ain't
okay,
right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so someone says, I am an accountant who is fortunately married to a fiscally responsible partner, and I can't wrap my head around a relationship such as you have described. Your husband, well, this person says that your person should prove he is capable of handling his own finances before you give him any sort of even limited control over yours. Having a plan or just wishful thinking is not enough. There should be measurable and tangible proof that he isn't continuing down the path to insolvency. A postnuptial legal agreement would be the minimum protection you should have before any additional shared financial responsibility is created, such as owning a home jointly. What do you think about that? I think this person kind of is taking her side and saying that, you know, you should explore a postnuptial agreement and that the husband should have to prove he's capable of handling his own finances.
We getting ready to go here, Shar.
I mean, how do we know that he hasn't proven that? I don't know.
Let's
what
do
you
this.
Think? Go ahead.
Let's do this. So I had an epiphany recently.
Okay.
And maybe this will be a whole nother pod, but I'm just going to give y'all a little bit, right? So... I had an epiphany that I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to tell you guys and what I'm going to tell you guys later. But okay, so this is gray, but I had an epiphany that me and Shira's relationship functions in two parts, two separate functions, right?
Mm-hmm.
The gray area is just our income, what our jobs produce, bank accounts, and so on and so forth. But where is a distinct divide is business and husband and wife, Shira and Marcus. Okay. So what that lady is speaking about there, Shira, is she has a point.
Okay.
You must prove that you're ready to handle business. See, there are certain things that come and certain roles that come with just husband and wife. I don't have to prove. I proved it to you when I got on my knee and gave you a ring of significant heritage and you accept it. That unlocked a lot of things I don't have to work for, right? You have faith in your partner that I'm going to, I won't say yes at the altar if I don't believe these things, if I'm not going to give my partner this or that. But when it comes to business, which I now have realized, at least for me and Shire, is 100% separate.
It should be.
Separate.
It should not be, right?
You can't bring, well, I'm the husband, therefore I should be able to make more or all of the business decisions. Because you would never enter into a partnership with let's just say another male, right? Or a business associate and say, we're 50-50, but you know what? I think I should be able to do this on my own. You wouldn't do that. What would you do? You would maybe in some cases have a board or that would help you vote on that. Or you would buy the person out. You would do it business. You wouldn't just say, because I'm the husband or because I'm X, I feel like I should have more say in this business. It's not how business works. So in the same way, you have to separate your marriage from your business. So I do agree. You have to prove that you can handle business for the family. You don't just get that because I said I do. You get respect because I say I do. You get love because I say I do. You get my heart because I say I do. You get my trust because I say I do. But you don't get to now start, you gonna run me in. You just off top get say over my business side, which is money. But it's gray though, Shire, because they're not talking investments. They're not talking. But are yeah. they? You
but,
know what I
but
mean?
But what they are saying is that they are they make about the same income.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that they are both putting in equally, you know, for some of the expenses.
I think we get 50-50 say.
You know? Okay.
And that's what I came
to. So you're saying to work through the business within your marriage together.
It has to be 50-50. It can't be unless agreed upon. And that's the thing me and you talk about, Shire, and I really love where we're at. But that's what me and you talk about. If we can't agree that you're going to win on this one, or you're going to have that, we're going to go your route, or we're going to go my route on this one, then you don't move. It's still 50-50. It just stays 50-50. You can't say, well, I just feel like I need to be in charge on this one. You have to prove it. We have to dialogue about it. You have to show me that you can handle that. And I think that's what this lady's saying in that. And I kind of agree with her.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, that happens.
That's my long answer.
I would say that happens for the most part in our marriage. But mm-hmm. obviously, that hasn't happened in every situation.
Correct. Correct.
Let's just be real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything has not been a conversation.
Yeah.
But okay, I think that sounds good. And I think that might be the route that they might want to take.
Might want to go.
You know, it's kind of a partnership. So I'm looking at another comment here, and the person writes, I too married somebody whose financial house was not in order, but I knew there was potential and willingness to do better. And there has been improvement over time, but it's still a constant struggle. I know it's not politically correct, but yes, there are spenders and savers. Ants and grasshoppers. And it isn't that savers don't also spend money.
Mm-hmm.
They live under their means, keep savings against the unforeseen, and put money away for the future. Spenders blow through all their money like it's burning a hole in their pockets. Finance what they can't buy with cash and live like they can't take it with them.
It's hard to turn a spender into a saver, and the marriage bed isn't the place to make it happen.
Mm.
I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah, man. I mean, this is this is interesting.
But yeah, I think it is a very interesting topic, and it sounds like there are some conversations that should have been had right before they got married. And because they've been together for 5 years, I mean, that is a pretty significant amount of time. You know, maybe they need a third party to help them navigate this challenge. Maybe they need to work with a therapist to, you know, or somebody, you know, to really get this dialogue out in a way that won't destroy their relationship, you know, in a way that salvages their relationship if
they
want to be together.
Yeah, yeah. I think one, she should express their concerns in the same way that she was able to express them in this article. Sit her husband down at a nice time, dinner after dinner or whatever, and express her concerns to him formally, not what she assumes and this and that. I don't think he would do. Express her concerns at length and then gauge his reaction, and if she doesn't get the reaction she's looking for, suggest a third party in the way of counseling. I don't know. Is there such thing as a money counselor? I don't know. But some type of therapy, counseling, third party that can help her work with it. You know, I really think that that's good. You know, I think counseling is good. And it doesn't always have to come when you have a problem. But it does help you work through scenarios. You know what I mean? Just having that person there that's unbiased. You know what I mean? I think it'd be a good thing for them. So that's what I would do to her. I would tell her how she really feels. Because sometimes, Shire, when you pull me aside and say, Marcus, I'm really feeling this way, such and so forth, you know, you're going to listen as the man. You're going to hear her out.
I mean, sometimes people don't want to hear.
And then if they don't want to hear, that's when you get that third party. You exercise all your options. Okay, well, then I want counseling. I don't want to do counseling. Da-da. What's your next recourse? We don't want to go down the road what that could be.
Well,
but you just go through your proper channels. But go ahead. What you got on stage? You had a look on your face.
Yeah, well, my look came about because as I'm like looking through some more of like the comments and stuff, that it seems like a lot of people are reading the husband as him being dishonest, and it's almost like he lied.
Question. Yeah, that was another question.
Did you pick that up? Because I know that he said that he implied that he was financially secure, but I didn't really pick up on the he was dishonest or he lied vibes. Maybe I missed that.
Yeah, that's a jump to conclusion because he implied, even saying he implied that he's financially secure is a jump to conclusion because me and you said on the front end of this, he may feel in his heart of hearts that $40,000 worth of debt, a home, and enough money from my job to pay all of this
is financially secure. Yeah,
it's a very nebulous phrase. Financially secure. What it's like saying, what is retirement? Some people, retirement may be on a desert island. For some people, retirement may be. I mean, I just, you know.
You should just say a deserted island.
Yeah, you know.
I don't want to be on an island where nobody got.
But you know what I mean?
There's
like
nothing there.
Some people want to live better, a king in retirement. Some people just like. I just don't want to go to work. I just want to feel safe, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I didn't get that either, but some people got that. And the comments are, well, if he can't take care of himself, girl, don't let him have no say over your money. And for some reason, I didn't pick that up with this. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah.
I think they're making it. I don't know. Maybe I'm downplaying.
Well, that's why I went to the vows, because I knew there was
going to be. Why would you go to the vows? I still don't understand that, Marcus. Because
I knew it was
going to
be this energy of, girl, or nah, he ain't, nope, you got to get up out of there. He crazy. I knew it was going to be an overreaction, so I wanted to, let's start with this.
So,
let's level set with.
Okay. Can I be honest, Marcus?
We're
going to
work through this. This isn't the end of the world. Calm down, everybody. Okay. That's kind of where I was leaning.
Okay, but I'm just in full honesty. When you went to the vows, I thought you were going to use the vows to side with the man. Like, that's where I thought you were going.
Oh, no,
but
no,
you
no,
didn't
no.
go there, no, no, but no, that's where I thought you were going to go. Like, you know, I thought you were going to be like, well, she needs to,
you know, submit to her own husband and bring home the cash and let him make the decision. Like, I didn't know where you were going to go.
I'm a more mature Marcus. You know what I mean?
And can I say this? You know, many of you probably already know, we celebrated 15 years of marriage this year, and we did do a vow renewal. And I'm going to be honest with you, them first vows, because the first time we got married, we did the traditional vows. I wasn't about to do that again.
Them vows.
I mean, not to say that those vows, I mean, obviously.
Was asking a whole lot.
Huh?
Them first vows was asking a whole lot.
You know, it's not that I would not do those first vows again, but I do like the second set of vows that we used, which was not the first set. Yeah. It doesn't mean that the first set no longer applies.
Right.
But I'm just saying, you know, I wish I would have, like, because we went through marital counseling before we got married, and it's just like, you know, could I have at least gotten a copy of the vows, or maybe I should have looked them up.
It's like going into a job because you thought you were going to do this job, and you get in the first day and they like, it's double.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, okay. I mean, I'm going to do it. I mean, I need the money. But dang.
It's not what I thought it was going to be.
This job is a lot different than I thought.
Yeah, but I think that just speaks to how relationships are complicated. Mm-hmm. And we cannot think that just because you and your spouse have a conversation that you're going to walk away with having your way. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh, husband, I don't think you should do this. And I told you, so therefore, that is the reality of our relationship.
It's work.
Henceforth, now and forever. I mean, that's just not always how it goes.
It's consistent work, man, you know.
Yeah, and how do we know that he's not willing to do the work?
Yeah.
So it's like, give, you know, at least you've been with this person for 5 years. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Yes. And then go from there. Then you write into the internet.
Right.
After you've done all that you can do, you write into the internet, and then we'll talk about that.
Right. Right.
But don't just, I'm just frustrated. Let me go to let's go online.
Yeah. But keep writing, because you've given us good podcast material.
Oh, yes.
Material.
We love it. We love it. I don't know.
We want to know what you guys think in the comments. Yes. We share what we think about this whole scenario. What do you think? Let us know in the comment section on whatever platform, in the review section. Let us know. This is like, I agree with him or I agree with her. We would love to know what you guys think. But yeah, man, this is an interesting one. It's got a lot of layers.
It does.
And don't be afraid to, like, man, we need to just, I need somebody. You're not hearing me. You're not hearing my concern. So maybe I need to bring somebody in that's unbiased. Maybe they can explain it better for me. Or maybe they can tell me I'm crazy for trying to even tell you this, you know. So don't be, it's not a bad thing when it's like two intelligent people just can't. I can't understand what you mean, or I don't agree with you. That's not some crazy thing that should never happen. That's very normal. So sometimes you just need somebody else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, don't shy away from the counseling piece. I think that's good. What you think, Shy? Any last thoughts on this one?
No, I think that's good. You know, as I always say, good luck.
I got my own set of problems I'm dealing with now. Nah, but we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. If you did, like I said, I don't know if I said this episode, but leave us a 5-star review, you all. That really is just, it's like currency to podcasters. And it helps us
so much.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to thank you in advance for checking out the Black Married and Debt Free podcast. And until next time, we out. Peace.
Bye.